Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. The date, January 27th, 2017. The time, 10:01 p.m. It's a special late edition of The Center Ring. Coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. It's episode 48. We have a wonderful show for you set up for today. Lots to get to. In fact, it might be the best episode ever. If I say so. I could be wrong, Brett. But we put a lot of prep into this one.
Oh, yeah. Tons. So
it might win us awards. I don't know.
We'll see about that.
We have a full house today. I'll be one of your hosts. My name is Tim. Of course, you just heard Brett.
What up?
We also have our Indian friend.
What up, what up?
Anuj. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having
me. So this was like on the whim. Like, we kind of were out for dinner, and then I was like, hey, man, I got to go record the podcast. Do you want to come along? And
you know, I thought I could add a dynamic y'all haven't seen before.
Well, we're now legal. Speaking, hey. Like, we weren't meeting our minority quota.
And, trying to bring some diversity to this place here, you know?
So, thank you.
Sound
thank
like you the whitest that. Guy here, probably.
And then, of course, then we have my brother, Anthony. He's here.
Yeah, I'm just here for the ride. Thanks for having me.
And you're
me.
Like a esports extraordinaire, right? You're like Thorn 2.0.
Yeah, sure.
Give me 10 seconds on who Thorn is.
He's an individual who is a pro gamer, I can only assume, and he's very good at his job. I'm sure he's known by lots of people worldwide.
Okay, you got a few things wrong. He's not a professional gamer, and he doesn't do a good job.
Oh, well, so, there you go. Shows what I know.
He screwed that up. No, Thorn is a...
They love him on Twitter, though.
No, I think Thorn's a great. I think he's fine when he... Well, we won't get into that. We won't get into that right now, Brett. Stop trying to derail me. If you haven't noticed, we had the short intro today. We didn't have the extended intro, so it sounds very awkward when I do my intro under no music. But that's because the computer in our recording studio is a piece of poo and doesn't work. So I apologize about that. But we do have episode 48. Will be an amazing show. Of course, we have CSGO major update. We're going to talk a little bit about the group stage. What happened day one in the playoffs? We won't spend a whole lot on that just because by the time this episode's up and you listen to it, we're basically already going to be in the grand finals. So, but we will talk about it because there's always stuff to talk about CSGO. I want to talk a little bit about EVO 2017 that was recently announced with all the schedules and the game. Well, not the schedule, but the games were released and how they're going to go about 2017 in EVO in Las Vegas. Maybe they'll see the Oakland Raiders there one day. But I wanted to start the show off again like we did last week. I don't know if it worked out or not. Did you like it, Brett, doing the news first?
Yeah, I think it was nice. You know, just kind of get out of the way.
I got a wave of responses online. My God. Like, I wish I could have gotten to all of our fan responses, but it's just too much. I'm like, hold on, man, hold on. For real, let us know, though, on Twitter, at The Center Ring, how you like it. I don't know if I like doing news in the front or not, or in the back. I feel like it's more natural in the back, but maybe that's just because I'm used to it. I like it in the back. So, anyways, let's get on to yesterday's news today. Again, no production value. So Dota Pit happened, and I know you gave it an honest effort. I asked you to watch it, and I know you didn't.
I did.
And it hurts.
And you know what? Once I'm gonna give it the old college try. I'm gonna play it again. See if I can get into it. I'll play with my buddy. See if he can carry me. Now, but I just don't understand the game.
It's not so much though that you don't understand because you can't watch it. Because let's be honest, I've seen you play Counter Strike. You don't understand Counter Strike, and you still watch that just fine.
Hey, burn. I'm getting there.
So, Dota Pit though this time around was severely. And it's not their fault. It was not the tournament organizer's fault. It was very poorly done because there was cursed with technical issues that constantly delayed. Anuj, we were talking about beforehand where the E-League major is like, it's all timed. You know when everything's going to go.
Production value.
Yeah, the production value is there and they had everything laid out. And on this Dota Pit one, it was the exact opposite how we were saying where it's like, you basically just tune in and there might be a match going on and you don't really know what's going on because they don't have anything up there. So it was, even for me, someone who loves watching Dota, it was tough to watch. And that was like a week ago. So I'm not even going to break down the game. But, you know, it was an interesting tournament. It was still early on into patch 7.0. It was like one of the first events. So you had players getting used to that. Evil Genius beats OG 3-1 in the best of five. This was, I mentioned technical delays earlier. What is the latest or maybe earliest you guys have ever stayed up to watch a tournament? In local time. I'm not talking like, okay, if it's in Europe or whatever, I understand staying up late to watch it. Local tournament.
There were some tournaments in Europe where I stayed up until like maybe like 1:30 or 2 o'clock.
I'm talking like if it was happening here in Dallas.
Oh, psh. I mean,
or, you know, in the States, if it was happening in the States.
I mean, if there's like a West Coast game on TV, I'll stay up until like 12:30, 1 o'clock. But
with ESL, I felt like some of them ran way past midnight that I probably stayed up to like catch if it's a good game, maybe 1, 2 o'clock.
Okay.
But that's because it takes them an hour to warm up and 2 hours to fix technical
right.
delays.
And I feel like they finally gotten past that with the dual stage setup. Dota Pit finished 4 a.m. local tournament time.
Nope.
And like you'll watch it. So if you start watching the grand finals, like they kind of panned out to show shots of the stadium, and that this time it was probably around like midnight local time, and there were some, you know, there were good amounts of people.
Wait,
there
the finals
still.
Was at 4 a.m.
They finished the entire grand finals finished at 4 a.m.
Oh my gosh!
So they lifted the trophy at 4 a.m. By the end of it, they did not show the crowd at all, only because I can assume there was no one there by that time.
Yeah.
The players look like Evil Genius won, and they looked like they were like, dude, just give me the trophy. I got to go. So have you guys ever heard of esports hype guy?
No.
Okay. So this, I think Croatian, Russian, Middle Eastern.
I know.
Story.
Something European. Anyways, it's this dude. He's been in Dota before, and he's kind of known for... He's the hype guy, right? He's the stage guy. He's, hey, welcome to Dota, and all that, okay? He's like the Chris Puckett of the Dota pit. This is not making fun of him. He is a legend. He has turned into an esports meme on his own. What I'm talking about here is how the production value just... They throw him under the bus. They do esports hype man no favors. So I'm about to play two pieces of audio. The first one is going to be when he was introducing the grand finals. So this was finals about to start. He is here to get everyone pumped up at like midnight. Okay. And it's his job. I want you to notice the importance of what crowd mics do. So they have his mic hooked up. All right. His mic is there and everything. But that's it. No crowd mics. So let's listen to this first clip. I think it's like maybe a minute or so long, but it's quite golden.
We wish to say welcome to all gamers fans all around the world, to our exciting audience in arena, and to the millions of spectators watching live stream TV broadcasts. Gamers fans, are you ready?
And it sounds like,
three fans.
Yeah.
Hold your breath. Hold your pants tight. Gaming madness is coming. For the thousands of attendants and the millions watching around the world, G2A Dota Pit Season 5 Grand Final.
Nothing.
And they just left him hanging. Nothing. Like you could pipe in some crowd noise or something.
So when anybody else listening to that guy, do you think of John Malkovich and like, what was that movie? You know, where he says, pay the man his money.
Oh.
Anyway, is this an old movie?
No, it's not an old movie.
It's actually not old. It's newer.
Yeah. But that's what he sounds like. But that poor guy.
And like I said, it might sound normal in the stadium. For everyone on stream, though, like I said, he's known for it now. But he's not even doing... The beauty of it is this man is now famous for being so awkward, but it's not even him.
No.
And I know people are saying like, oh, it's the crowds there. They just suck. No, the crowds could be amazing. There's not one crowd mic hooked up. And so this is esports hype guy afterwards. So this is Evil Genius beat OG, and he's kind of saying thank you to everyone.
Thank you for being with us to 4 o'clock a.m.
4 o'clock.
We know you are very tired, but you were the best audience we ever have. Thank you very much once again. And the best Dota Pit team, Evil Geniuses!
Like six Woo. People there.
Woo! Woo! That's it. That's like...
That
I makes like me feel sad.
Part. Let's listen. I want to listen to that part again, though, where he's like, I know everyone's tired. Kind of like, you can tell he's just like, I just woke up.
Thank you for being with us to 4 o'clock a.m. We know you are very tired, but you were the best audience we ever
I love that.
Have.
You are the
Thank
best.
You very much once okay. again. And the best Dota Pit team, Evil Geniuses!
I can't get over that, dude.
He does have a golden accent, though. Like, that's a very friendly accent.
Yeah, it's solid.
No, yeah. It is. It's and he is really.
But that you played him, I know who he is. So that helped at least.
It sounded like
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who
about
you're talking
then.
About
okay.
now.
I have no idea what his name is. I just know him. If you Google esports hype guy, that he has like a whole.
He's
soundboard.
Been on Reddit so many times yeah. now. Yeah.
It sounded like halfway through that he was going to like pass out, and someone just like walked up behind him with an adrenaline yeah. shot, like.
Like it's not like that evil genius. Like he was kind of like, it's 4 a.m. and you're the best around.
Somebody get the adrenaline shot.
Okay, evil. Okay, thank you, everyone. Like it just, like I was watching that live and I was like, oh, this poor guy looks like he's being left out to hang. But then again, it's 4 a.m. and I bet you there was like maybe 100 people there.
Do you think he was sleeping like during that
There's
time before
no
he was like out
doubt.
There? Yeah, right?
No doubt.
4 a.m.? I'm tired. And what time is it right now? You said 10:01?
Yeah, it's 10:13 right now, and I'm ready to go to bed. There is no doubt that that guy was ready just to kill it. Moving on here, though. CSGO, some CSGO news, which we're going to kind of just lump all this in with what we're discussing today. But rumors, when I wrote this down, it was a rumor. It could be official right now. FNX moving to Immortals.
It's official.
It is official
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't on
well,
the
I
roster.
Wrote this down earlier, and it was still not official. So we're going to talk about that when we get into CSGO, because SK kind of plays a part in that. Heroes of the Storm is doing Heroes of the Dorm again this year with a little bit of a twist. Earlier, we were kind of commenting, I think 2 episodes ago, we were mentioning how ESL, this upcoming ESL, is going to be exclusively on YouTube.
Right.
And we were like, okay, well, that's whatever. Who cares? We'll still watch it because it doesn't make a difference to me if it's on YouTube or whatever. Heroes of the Dorm, however, is going to be exclusively streamed on Facebook Live.
That's a mistake.
No more ESPN2 for them? Or ESPN
the finals will be on ESPN2.
Okay.
The grand finals will still be on ESPN2, but leading up to it, Facebook Live.
Real quick, can I just shout out to my alum, UTA, because they're usually in the finals of Heroes of the Dorm.
I'm trying to. Did they?
They didn't.
They
win
didn't
it.
Win. They got
lost,
to the finals.
They were second place, I think. Two
Arizona
two years
State.
Or, yeah, I think so.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Giving
I
them a shout out doesn't mean I watched the whole thing. I tuned in for a brief moment.
No, I think you're right. They got second place to. I
yeah,
think Arizona State.
It was Arizona
I think
State.
That was last year where Arizona State won it. The Sun Devils, right?
Yeah,
they're Sun Devils, right?
They are Sun
okay,
Devils.
That's who won it.
Yeah,
I remember because like UTA and Arizona State tweeted something out saying congratulations.
It got me pretty hyped.
And
though.
That just never goes over well when someone congratulates people for playing video games on Twitter because they will definitely hear about how.
I'm
it's,
sure the comments on that Twitter
was so,
just like
so friendly towards.
They
e-sports.
Were proud. Proud school moment.
And then Smash 4, I wanted to talk more about this, but it happened last weekend, and we're recording on a Friday, because that's how we do it. Genesis 4 just happened last weekend. Armada defeated Mango again, 3-0. It was a very uneventful grand finals there, where Mango just kind of let Armada just wipe the floor with them. Fun fact, so this is the fourth Genesis. Yeah, the fourth Genesis. Genesis 4. Duh. Okay? Do you want to take a wild guess on who the two people have been in the grand finals for every Genesis?
Mango and Armada?
That's right.
Oh my God.
In every
so good.
Single one. In every
good.
Single one. It's Mango and Armada. And the only one Mango has beated Armada on was just now. Or 2 years ago. Or last year. So now 2 Genesis ago. And then also they announced that the Smash Summit tournament will be March 2nd through the 5th, which Smash Summit is awesome. If you've never watched a Summit, have you ever watched like Summit Dota or anything like that?
I haven't.
Basically, they have a house and they invite a handful of teams, or in this case, individual pros, and they just have a tournament in a house. It's very, like anything in the FGC community, very like loose and not conventional.
It brings you good vibes of like an old school LAN party.
It is.
Yeah,
it
sounds cozy.
Yeah, like the pros are grabbing mics and they're just commentating during matches and they're sitting on a couch and it's awesome. I like the vibe that it gives out. Speaking of SGC, or the FGC community and vibes, Evo announced their 2017 lineup. So it's going to be July 14th through the 16th in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
All right. Any Vegas goers here?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So that's where it's going to be at again. Going down the list, there's, I think, nine, if I counted correctly. Got Street Fighter V, which that was a given. You have Smash Melee, again, which was a given. We'll see if Hungerbox is going to repeat his win from last year. So Hungerbox has been in every Evo. Last year was his first victory. And it was like a huge... I mean, that was... Brett, I don't think you... Do you watch Evo?
No.
I know. I've mentioned it to you. So Evo, for those who don't know what Evo is, I have no idea what it stands for. It's like ESPN. No one really knows what it stands for. But it's an awesome fighting game tournament where it's like... It's like... If you're in the FGC community, like that's the one you want to win. It's the biggest one. It has 9 games. It's 3 days. It's a weekend-long event. And it's crazy. They have like thousands of fighters there. So Hungerbox won last year. They're going to have Smash U again, which, oddly enough, Smash U this year is going to be at the arena. And Smash Melee is not. So they do similar, where it's like on Sunday, you move to like a stadium to watch all the finals. And they're not doing Melee at the big stadium this year. No shot at Melee, they said. But they just want to give Smash U a chance to be on the big stage. I mean, I don't agree with it personally. I think people go to watch Melee. Like, I don't even watch Smash U on Twitch. Like, I'll have it on in the background, but I don't... I mean, maybe that's to the fault of the community, because no one gives credit to Smash 4. Like, on Wii U, it's just not as popular. You don't have the big names like Mango or Amada, Mewtwo King, or anything like that. So we'll see. Maybe that puts it there. You got King of Fighters making its first appearance there. Guilty Gear is coming back with its newest update and rendition. Blaze Blue returns again after, I think, 2 years. I think Blaze Blue was in Evo about 2 years ago. You have Injustice 2. That will be there after it only comes out in May. So that's only like a 2-month period where people can actually practice Injustice 2. I want Injustice 2. I love fighting games. I have a fighting stick, so I feel like I'm somewhat of a pro. But we talked about this at lunch, Anuj and Anthony, and Injustice 2 is Injustice because they have 3 versions of the game where the collectors, if you get the most expensive one, it's $100, and that has like 9 included free characters, free, quote-unquote, characters.
Can you earn them any other way or no?
I don't know. I doubt it. Yeah. Because I've never played a fighting game where you could earn new characters by fighting. I think DLC, for me, DLC for me is killing fighting games. Because all of them are guilty of it. Like Street Fighter has DLC for characters. Mortal Kombat had DLC for characters, which arguably killed the game. Because Mortal Kombat, which isn't even in Evo, so to finish off the list, you have Tekken 7... And then a fan choice game is the 9th one where fans can go and make donations for charity and vote in a game that they want. Mortal Kombat is on that list. Earlier today, I checked, and I can check right now. Mortal Kombat had like $100. Like, it had no one wanting to support it. Let me see.
Yeah, I feel like they jumped the shark when they added Jason to that game,
okay,
right?
And that's
Jason doesn't belong in Mortal Kombat.
That's my argument where...
What, did they charge you $5 for him?
Well, there's that. But they added, like, Alien.
I saw that.
And they added things not from the fighting universe in there. They did it for the shtick, right? They went for the bit route. But in doing so, like, if you're adding those characters, you have to kind of make it worth it. And like the in MKX, in the Mortal Kombat world, in my opinion, oh, right here, $135. It's, I mean, it's the second lowest one.
What's leading the charge?
Marvel versus Combat 3 or Capcom 3. And then you have Pokken Tournament in second place. But it looks like MVC3 is gonna win that. Which is cool. I think it would be weird to see an Evo without Marvel versus Capcom, to be honest with you. Pokken Tournament, I think the only reason it has fans is Pokemon. It's a fun game to play.
I mean, when we were at DreamHack, we were contemplating staying in line play it. Or did you guys stay in line to?
No, remember they had that whole station out and you could just walk up and play them in DreamHack also.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like fun.
No, it is fun. It's a lot of fun. It's not really fun watching, but not really that great. But Marvel vs. Capcom is probably going to win that charge. But in Mortal Kombat, man, there's two factors that just killed that fighting game community. A, the DLC, an alien. In particular, the alien character, because you could cheese it up with him and just win it.
Yeah.
And two, Sonic Fox, who is the number one player in Mortal Kombat, who used Alien and would cheese him up in tournaments with no shame. No shame whatsoever. This guy would just do the same. It was so boring to watch because once he got you into a corner, he would constantly knock you down and then spit on you with the acid and then you would die and then it's just over and over. And that's how he won tournaments. And he was only like one of the few guys that would do it because honestly, I think you have people in that community that were like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Like,
and to kind of stop you, I mean, that's one of the things that appeals to me about Smash Brothers Melee. There's honor in that game. Like, right. If you accidentally fall off the screen, you know what? I'm gonna kill myself.
Right.
And then we're gonna start over because like I don't want to win this way.
Legit get the kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's so not fun watching Sonic Fox play Alien all the time because he would win all the time with him, and he's a furry, which
he looks shady.
I feel like I can. It's 2017. You should accept anyone for their personal beliefs and whatever sexual thing they're into, unless they're furries. Then I'm not going to be friends with you.
You're cutting out a whole demographic there by saying that.
Yeah, I mean,
that,
like the whole five of them that would probably even approach me. I'd be really concerned with that. But it would be like in like Melee, like if all of a sudden Ice Climber main was like number one, because they would do that Weibo combo and it killed it. I don't know. I feel like that's part of the reason why Mortal Kombat X didn't do as well as it should have. And what sucks too is like the developers for that game, like they have like their own league ran for Mortal Kombat, but it's still just the community itself does not care because they flooded it with balance patches so no pro could get used to a character because they constantly would change it.
And it's too gimmicky. I mean, it got away from just like being simplistic and just fun to like, I mean, it's uncomfortable for me to watch because I mean, one of the cutscenes when you do a move is like a dude's balls just like
going into his body,
bursting. Like that is uncomfortable to watch. What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of weird where they would broadcast the tournament on TV, but then they couldn't show that. So they would like
black it out.
It was really weird. Like, it's kind of like, look, man, if you're going to broadcast that on TV, like, you're going to have to just own up to the fact that there's going to be blood and inappropriateness, or just don't do it at all.
Mortal Kombat, what do you expect, right?
Like, this didn't sneak up on anyone that Mortal Kombat is bloody.
Yeah, but I feel like they were kind of like pushing the boundaries of how gory. It's like The Walking Dead. You know, each season they were like, let's see what we can do to just push the boundaries and make this as gory as possible.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not going to make it. By no means are we going to see Mortal Kombat in Evo this year, which Injustice 2 will kind of replace it because it's made by the same guys. So if you've never played Injustice, it plays very similar to Mortal Kombat just with superheroes, which is pretty awesome. But that's Evo, so we'll keep an eye out for that in July. Until then, I know you have some other tournaments in between that you need to pay attention to. But what you really need to pay attention to is CSGO, because we are in a major Atlanta. But it's been going on now for When did it start? Like a week, right?
Sunday. Last Sunday.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're right. Yeah, because it was like Sunday you had the major and then all the Dota Pit finals and G4 finals and everything there. It was a busy Sunday. So I don't know. How did you guys want to do this? Like I said, you had group stage that's already came and went. We can kind of just talk about what we thought that happened. I mean, we are just talking heads on this show. Like, we're not professionals. We don't get paid for this.
Speak for yourself.
However, I think we can all admit when you make bad predictions. And Brett,
what are you going to be for?
I mean, how's your sticker game going?
I think I had like three teams out. I think
three out of the eight. I have no idea what my stickers were.
Yeah, no, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay.
Can I brag before I poop on myself? I went 7-for-8 in group stage. And then as soon as we get to the playoffs here,
it just
Navi, I had them going all the way, sadly.
Rip. So that's done.
So it's over. Yep. I can go for bronze, maybe.
Where'd you have Fnatic and Gambit?
I had Gambit advancing.
Okay, so did I.
Was great.
I got that wrong.
So that worked out really well. Did have VP, and tomorrow, you know, got SK going on.
Yeah, me too. So I got that. Yeah. One thing, so we brought up Fnatic there. Can we start with Fnatic real quick?
Yeah.
To kind of talk about where we want to go with this group stage. Because honestly, I have my notes here that out of the biggest surprises, Fnatic was my number one. Like, going into this, I actually picked them to be one of my teams that would go out 3-0.
Yeah, you did.
And partially that's because for whatever reason, when I make predictions, I try to go big. Like, if I get the huge underdog pick or whatever, I'm going to get more points, which isn't how it works, and I understand this, but, you know, I try to play the odds and whatever, it doesn't work out. But I still believe that Fnatic was not going to make playoffs, and I am shocked that they did, because going into this, you have that rumor that's still going on that JW and Flusha are going to leave Godsent to go back to Fnatic and replace who knows who. And I figured that would have been more of a distraction and so much, not so much a distraction, but telling that Fnatic might not care.
Yeah. Look at G2. G2 is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. I mean, the whole rumors of the French shuffle, which I will still be a little surprised if the French shuffle happens.
I hope it does. I want to see Shox and Kenny S on the same team at some point. It's just
they're
gonna
about
happen
the
at some
only
point.
Ones out of that entire group that haven't played together, though. Like that's my thing with the French shuffle is like, it's already happened before. Like, there's only so many French players that can be part of so many French shuffles.
But to have the top two on the same team, I think would make a difference.
But that's the same thing they said when Shox and Scream got together.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that was supposed to be the ultimate.
Supposed to be, but Kenny S is what? Top opper in the world? Top three? Top two? He's right there.
There's a guy named Fallen on SK. Have you ever heard of him?
Fallen, Guardian, Kenny S. You put them all in the same bucket, though, right? Of elite oppers.
I mean, they're on the same tier.
They're on the same tier. There might be slight differences.
Maybe I just have a bias against...
You just don't like Kenny S.
Kenny S. It's just his demeanor, dude. Like, you watch him... Well, no. It's not even that. It's you know, they always pan to him. Did you notice that watching all the Envious matches?
Well,
they pan to him
because they know what they're doing.
Every round they lost right to Kenny S in his face because they know that he could blow up any minute.
Yeah, because he's done it in the past.
He's emotional. But I kind of like that about him.
And I think that's their dynamic though.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a thing like with FNX where you know, he supposedly was kicked off of SK because he raged too hard. I don't think Kenny S is raging. I think that's just frustration.
Maybe
there's rumors because he just doesn't mesh. Because if you look at the two best players on that team, Scream and Shox, those are the two most laid back dudes I've ever seen playing CS. When they lose a round, it's like, okay, all right, get the next one.
It's because their facial hair
maybe
hides it. You're too distracted by their awful facial hair. I also think, though, that this French shuffle has, and I'm not kidding at all when I say this, this French shuffle has been in talk for almost a year now. Like, I remember before MLG Columbus, Envious was supposed to blow up then.
Yeah.
Like, Envious was not even supposed to be together for the major. Then they went through the major, and everyone was like, oh, this is done. They're going to be done after this major. They're done. And then they're still together. And then they added Devil. And, like, that was supposed to be a...
That blew up.
Right. And that never went anywhere. And so...
Now this, Sixer.
Now Sixer. And this has literally been in the works now. This whole French shuffle has been almost a year now where people said it's going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, but, I mean, there was that big rumor that Smith's is going to be gone and there's one opera gone. Where are they going to get that, you know?
I don't know. Well, like I said,
you believe it when you see it, but I think it's happening this time. There's been rumors of Smits to go coach.
But then you just had...
You drop Happy.
You had Envious just win WESG. Like, they have like, skins on the wall.
Yeah.
But this is, like, a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type of scene right now.
Well, they won a $800,000 pot.
Yeah.
Since their major win...
Oh, they haven't done anything.
Really hasn't been anything to show for it.
I think people... do have them underneath a microscope because the one major win. And because they are Envious. Like, they have a lot of big names, so people think that they're better than what they are. But I don't see... There could be a shuffle coming, but I don't see it changing anything.
Yeah, the brand carries a lot of weight, though.
Right.
Like Fnatic,
oh, no, it
right?
does.
You know,
yeah,
you have to produce.
Right.
I mean, I feel like a change is coming because, I watched this tournament, and no game that I feel like they're a lock. Just watching them, you don't really get that feeling that, oh, they got this in the bag.
No, I agree. I think I had them making the top 8 on my list, but
I did.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a confidence pick or just because I wanted an Envious sticker.
Maybe they were riding that high from the tournament that they won. You know, I had them in my top 8 too.
Right. I want to.
I did also. That was my one off. Unfortunately, yeah. I didn't have Gambit in there. I had Envious instead.
See, I did have Gambit.
Who did you miss on?
Liquid.
Oh, yeah.
I had Liquid advancing. They didn't make it. They might be the only one I missed on.
I'm ashamed to say I had Liquid as my 0-3.
Really?
I did.
Mm.
I did. Mm. I had SK as my 3-0.
He went with the safe pick. I had SK 3-0. Brett went with Hellraisers.
I mean...
Which I don't argue with. Like I said, this is to all the listeners, listen to my predictions because I go off the wall and I try to go for the
sexy pick.
Oh, man, I'm like, this is going to look so good when I get it right.
You want to do it in glory and style.
I don't want to take the easy way out and pick Hellraisers. I want Fnatic.
There's only two teams that go 0-3. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I know. And in retrospect, Flipside and Fnatic were...
Flipside was
going
to be my
obvious
choice.
Picks. They were pretty obvious.
And
I
decided to go NA on it.
I felt like Fnatic, they had enough like raw talent on that team and aiming to get one map...
So Fnatic is a tough cookie to solve.
Correct.
What's that saying?
Who knows?
Tough cookie
I think it's a tough cookie, right?
It's a tough cookie
tough nut to crack.
Thank you.
That sounds good. Yeah. I like that.
All right.
Let's go with that. At least makes sense.
They're a tough cookie. So because I can't figure them out. Like some maps and some rounds, Fnatic looks so frustrated that they don't want to deal with anything. But Olafmeister always has a positive attitude when it comes to Twist and Disco Doppelin.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's a hard foul. You are an esports professional now. You need to drop one. You're either Doppelin or you're Disco. You cannot have a two-name name.
That's right. He'll be gone soon anyway, right?
Will he? Well, I think he is the weakest link on Fnatic. I will agree with you that. But like I have this is their E-League major right now. Okay. So Disco Doppelin started out first game. Who did they lose?
G2.
G2?
Yeah. 16-10.
They did. Yeah. That was like the one thing G2 had going for them, right? Yeah. That was their one win.
They started off hot.
Yeah. They
Everyone
started
was
really
going crazy.
Strong. So Disco, this is HLTV ratings, 0.59, which is like, non-existent.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's terrible.
No, and they lost that one.
You're
that was
almost on page 2 at that point, right?
Yeah, that was Fnatic's one loss. Then going forward, you had had a 0.92, which was North. Yep, 0.88 against Mouse, and then Fnatic and Envious. He had a 0.93.
So that's kind of like. I mean, that's kind of like right there where solid.
Yeah, I think if you're in 90s, if you're in lower 90s, then you're about...
Yeah,
if you're above you're doing really good.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're above one, you're in the top.
Yeah.
Top tier.
Right. So now, on the other side of that, and it's funny when... And this is how you know, like, when people, like, talk about Fnatic, who they think are the weakest links, because do you ever hear, like, oh, I think JW is going to come back and replace Crims or Dennis? No, it's Disco and Twist. Like, those are the odd man out. Like, no matter how well they do, they're going to be the odd man out because they are not Fnatic. They are replacements and will always be replacement on Fnatic. Like, you will never think of them as, like, staples of the team.
Can I get my opinion on that, though?
Yeah.
I feel like Crims should be dropped. I feel like you drop Crims, and so, I feel like you take off Disco.
And I agree with you. I think if you... This is me, GM here. Drop Disco and add Flusha, and I would see how they do there. I'd keep Crims on for a little bit, even though before Crims left and then came back, I was not a fan of Crims.
Flusha, but no JW?
Yes.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't think it will. I think they're a package deal. But
they
are. JW hasn't impressed me, and when he sat there and cried after the one match, it was very uncomfortable for everyone.
I mean... It showed some emotion. It showed like he cared.
No, he does care. And I think it's also out of frustration of like JW has never been in this type of position before where he just wants to be back on Fnatic. Like he just wants those old days back where it's him and the boys.
He was the star power back
then.
Yeah,
he was. He was.
He went up and grabbed
the
trophy first.
He was the wonder child, right. He was that guy and he left it. And now it's he is not good enough just to carry that team. And I think we're seeing that in general with Fnatic, anyone on that roster.
Yeah.
Because look at Olafmeister. Yeah, he's doing okay. And Dennis and them, they're doing okay. But they're not like blowing anyone out. Like you're not looking at Fnatic and being like, they're lucky they still have Olafmeister.
But they haven't had a consistent five either.
No.
Prior to this tournament,
this is the first
they were
event.
Playing without what? They were playing without Disco prior to this tournament.
Right. This is the first event, event with this roster.
Yeah.
And then you have Twist. Who they in their first loss of the major, he had a 0.86. Then he had a 0.71 where they won. 0.74, which they won. So he actually did worse in the ones they won. And then we go to the very last one against, who was it, Envious? And then into the playoffs from today. He led the team with a 1.42.
That
was against
insane.
Like he all of a sudden hit it. And then today in the playoffs against Gambit, which they beat him 2-1, he had a 1.36.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Fnatic is the wild card pick in the sense of it's not how like Olafmeister and Crims and Dennis do. It's how those two do.
Yeah.
If they can produce just a little bit, like they don't even have to be the best on the roster, just produce enough to not suck. And then I think that's where Fnatic can kind of keep ground. Now it's a shame because this could all be for none after the major.
Yeah, I feel like a big part of it's going to come down, if they have any chance, it's going to come down to map picks because, I mean, I watch a Fnatic match and I don't feel like they're blowing anybody away with like advanced strats or anything like that. It's all just like raw aim.
They want to play the way they played when they were elite.
Right.
And it's hard to do when you don't have five elite players, right? So the way they played is they were known for not practicing. They were known for getting out there and they out-aimed people. And you can't do that anymore. That doesn't work with the talent that's out there and that doesn't work with the talent that's on their team.
Counter-Strike now, there's parity and there's parity in Counter-Strike now. I mean, I went into like my picks for the for the E-League major and I'm like, I don't know. It's hard. There wasn't one team where I was like, that team right there.
Yeah.
They're going to win.
There's usually three or four people or three or four teams that you could come across saying, oh, yeah, they could win this tournament.
Well, I mean, looking in this one. Well, okay, let's move on to this then, because that's a good segue to, I don't know if disappointment is the word, but Optic Gaming.
Disappointment is the word.
They did win. They went, 1-3?
Yeah.
Winning their only game to Flipside. So that's not like anything you want to write home about. But they had some pretty poor luck.
Look who they played.
Yeah.
Look at it. They played VP.
First game.
Yeah. Right out the gate.
Let's not, I mean, what, Astralis next?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a close game for them, but they still, you know, look who you're playing again at the end of the day there. And who else did they play?
Flipside. And then Godsend. And Godsend is the one that knocked them out.
Yeah, that one was the kicker, I think. Godsend is the one where they needed to pull through.
That was the one they should have won.
Yeah.
And now you were saying, though, Brett, off the show that they were, I guess, where did you see this?
All right, so it was an interview with Rush, a very awkward interview if you want to watch it on HL TV. It's very uncomfortable. The guy that was interviewing him, a nervous guy. It's hilarious. You should give it a watch.
I'll definitely have to.
Yeah, but
you should have pulled the audio.
Yeah, I mean, they were in Europe, you know, playing CS, and they were also, you know, training. And they didn't have any practice. No practice at all. So they took the anti-Godsend route of, you know, just...
Yeah, the Godsend took like the 2 weeks off. They backed out of a tournament.
Yeah.
So they could practice.
And they just had no time to...
Didn't work out.
No.
They had no time to practice or go over strats or, you know, look at teams and, you know, review potential matchups or anything like that. And they also had some visa issues with one of their players that was stuck in Spain.
We're still talking about Optic.
Yeah, Optic, okay. Yeah. So yeah, they had no practice. And which goes back to a point that we had, you know, a few shows ago where... There's just too much going on.
There is too much going on, but that almost sounds like an excuse to me.
No, it definitely is. With
like
the talent
they were going in as number two in the world.
The number two team, yeah.
Prior to this major, how much time did everyone have off? There was a lot of time, wasn't there?
Most teams had like, oh, you know what, here, I'll look for you.
Most teams had about like 3 weeks off.
This was the biggest break that they probably have all year going into this first major of the year.
Well, most, like Na'Vi... had 2 months off. They didn't play till before this tournament. Na'Vi's last game was November 11th.
Yeah, North was the same way. I mean, the first matches they ever played together under the new, you know, new digs was the major, right?
Yeah.
And they hadn't played for like a month and a half prior to that.
No, and that's why I think the Optic Gaming thing is kind of an excuse in the sense of like, I get, like, travel, like, you can't fight jet lag. Like, being tired is being tired. There's nothing you can do there. But as far as, like, well, we haven't had time to prep and everything like that, like, this major didn't sneak up on you.
No.
Yeah, true.
Like, this wasn't, like, some spur-of-the-moment iBuyPower tournament invite. Like, you knew this was coming up. You knew you were a top favorite and basically NA's only hope going in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people had much hope for... Liquid.
Again, I had him as 0-3, just to remind you.
So let me see here. Hold on. So we have the E-League Major Offline Qualifier, December 18th. So Optic Gaming's last... So this is what I don't get, man. So Rush was saying they were in Europe.
Yeah.
Their last game was against Hellraisers in December.
So you have
and then they played VP, which doesn't make any sense because, you know... Liquid was doing the same thing where they were boot camping in Europe.
For what? For reason?
That's just where they were practicing.
Okay, just for like giggles.
I'm assuming there's, I mean, you know, Europe kind of has like a more teams and better teams there to practice against and they want to practice LAN.
For like scrimming purposes.
Yeah,
and
I'm
like
assuming
that.
That's what it was. They probably teamed up with a European team and to scrim and have tournaments over there and everything. But nonetheless... Why are you waiting to like the week of the major to fly back?
Yeah.
Like at that point, you guys are professional gamers. You do this all day long. You don't have to like go and practice until the day before the tournament. Like you don't. If anything, I would almost take that week off of like hardcore, you know, 10-hour days of actual practice. And go over like strats and film
demos. Like reviewing.
Yeah.
And...
Like you don't have to constantly work on your op shot. Like it's there. It's going to come back after an hour's of warm up or something like that. That's going to come back. But like this, like that's just, they didn't prep right.
Yeah.
That has no, like, you can't throw that down and be like, well, we were in Europe and we had to do this and we had visa issues. You just didn't prepare.
Yeah. I mean, I watched all their matches and they just felt like they were, I mean, aim was off. They weren't winning their one-on-one. You know, they weren't winning their duels. It just, it didn't really look like they had their A game.
No, and all. I think NA has an issue with preparing because Liquid, and I don't want to say Liquid sucked because they did take two games
Liquid
in overtime.
Did an awesome job, in my opinion, in this tournament. This is the best that we could have asked from them. Had they got another legend spot, that would have been a dream scenario for them.
Yeah.
No NA legends going into it.
No.
So they all have to qualify time around.
Next major could be the one major
don't even potentially have an NA team.
No guarantee of an NA team.
Yeah. And watching it kind of looked promising. I mean, just watching the match, I thought this was going to be the tournament where Liege just like drop kicks Hiko and it's like, all right, dude, look, I'm the face of this team
now.
This
is my team now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I got his stats down here. ADR, he had an ADR in three matches over 100. One match, 127.6 against Flipside. And then, you know, his KD in all of his matches was above one, except for the one match, which I'll get to in a minute. This was the last match, the elimination match. He had a KD above one, 1.76 in one match, 1.45, 2.44 against Mousesports. And then it was the game against Astralis. And that's when just it all fell apart.
Yeah, for the whole team, though.
That's got
to
be
the whole team.
Yeah, and, you know, that's got to be rough to be like, your elimination match is a best of one, winner takes all against the tournament favorite.
Yeah.
And
which is, you know, that's kind of the cool thing about the Swiss League, though.
I loved
where
it.
Me too. I was really worried about it. You know, I've seen a few tournaments do the Swiss format. I really do like this because you have that storyline where you're still in group stage and yet you're getting matches like Liquid versus Astralis or, you know, like I'm trying to think of like some really good ones here. Let me look. Gambit versus VP was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Astralis. You had.
Yeah. SK and Astralis. That was a good one.
Yeah. And even in that, going back to that interview with Rush, he even said in the interview, it was like, you know, you guys were, I mean, just a victim of the system. He was like, you know what? Yeah. I mean, we kind of got shafted, but I like this system because they had three chances to win a match and move on and continue on. To his credit, he didn't make up any excuses with the Swiss system. He actually liked it. And I like it too, because it gives you, you know, just fun matches to watch early on, which is, you know, that kept me entertained.
As far as like, look at a team like SK, they played Astralis, they played Navi,
FaZe.
I mean, they had one of the toughest groupings to get out of,
and they only dropped a game to Navi.
Yeah,
and then you had teams like, let's see, which. I mean, really, Fnatic had a pretty easy run. Like, they dropped their first game to G2, but then they played North, Mouse, and then Envious.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
on paper, doesn't sound easy, but it was one of the easier routes.
It was, because North, like, yeah, okay, they made playoffs. I'll give you that. You know, they did make playoffs, and they were doing fine in this. That is a fake playoff team, though.
North seems like one of those teams that's like 8-8, right? They're like an 8-8 NFL team.
They should have beat VP today. They were up 12-3 going into the second match.
Sleep on VP, though.
You can't.
You can't.
Especially Cobble. Come on.
Yeah. Like, you're in Cobble right there. That's their map.
It's like,
now 12-3 on any map, you should probably take it. Like, at one point, just lock it down, especially when you're on T side.
Yeah. But if there's anybody that can do it, it's VP.
Yeah,
I mean, if anybody can hold it together, it's incredible.
That was fun, and really, that second half, it only came down to a 1v1 like twice, I think, if memory serves me right. Watching that match, it only came down to a 1v1 twice. Every round, VP had like two or three players still.
And you want to talk about backing into the playoffs? North was the only team, the only playoff team at this major to make the playoffs and have a negative KD.
Overall.
Oh,
wow.
Overall in group stages, they were the only team to walk in to the playoffs with a negative KD. They had the lowest of playoff teams rating. They had a 0.97 behind Fnatic's 0.98.
Can I tell you why that is?
Please do.
MSL. how long is this going to go for? If they brought in one person to take his spot that has some firepower, I get it. You lose the IGL, but at what point can we stop making excuses that an in-game leader can't frag? Like,
I agree with that.
You have a coach. You guys are doing the same strats for the most part. They're not doing anything exotic, as far as I can tell. Again, I'm not a pro player, but I don't see them doing anything different than any other team does.
Yeah, I mean, look at Glaive. Glaive is fragging.
Dude, Glaive is a beast. That has been a game changer. Yeah.
They IGLs can frag. Don't let this be an excuse.
It's the Adren mindset, right? People see Adren back in the day, and that was the NA excuse for him. Is like, oh, he's
too busy creating.
He's too busy creating strats, right?
These mastermind strats that can't even make it out of playoffs or anything like that.
That's
like,
not
no.
how it's gonna work.
And I could understand like if it was, I think of like someone like Fallen.
Gosh,
right?
I mean,
where
perfect
he's like
example.
A huge team leader. Like he calls all the shots
and opping.
And he's the best opera in the world, arguably.
Yeah.
So don't come at me with this whole, well, he's our IGL, so he gets to be the bottom fragger.
Because they have firepower. North has a lot of firepower with Magics. And I mean, they have a lot of firepower on that team. They just need to find a replacement there that's...
He has a top 10 player on HLTV, I think. Magics. Yeah, he's good. And you could just tell he was defeated after that match. Because he had the game of his life.
Dude, they were all defeated. They were in the elimination match up 12-3 against VP and lost.
Yeah, he just buried his head in his shirt. It's just like, man, I feel for that guy.
Config, Cajun B, and him. I mean, that's a lot of firepower on a team. Rubino, I consider as a middle-tier player, but he's fine. He does the job. MSL, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but MSL's KD, I know, was bottom three. It has to be.
Look here. And then you have on the flip side where a team that did not back into the playoffs but made a quick exit as well was Na'Vi. Now, again, Na'Vi losing is not like... them losing in the first round of the playoffs in the quarterfinals is not crazy when you look at like their opponent.
Yeah.
It was Astralis.
It's a finals matchup.
Right. You're in the playoffs now, so I think any team losing now is... That's how it goes. But they were like the number one team going into the playoffs with like a 1.10. They were the highest ranking team going into the playoffs.
Flamey had ratings of over 2, you know, in some of these games here. Flamey was off the charts, you know, going into the playoffs here. And unfortunately, it just didn't come through for him. They're a special team, though. They're going to be back, and they'll have another opportunity.
Are they a special team, though?
I really think so. I really feel like we saw a finals matchup in the first round.
No, That could have easily been a finals matchup.
Put them against FaZe. Put them against Gambit. You know, put them against North. We're talking about them advancing to the next round.
MSL, by the way, before we do here, he was -62.
Okay.
KD with a, let's see, rating of 0.67.
-62.
He is literally fourth worst right now in the major.
Okay, so I said bottom three, so I'm close. Right around there.
People behind, below him when it comes to ratings.
Speedy.
Pronax.
Oh, gosh.
Speedy.
Yep.
Do you know who the worst is?
Oh, gosh. Man, I don't know who could have done worse than Speedy in this tournament.
Smiths.
Oh, gosh, another one. There we go.
He wasn't doing himself any favors.
Two IGLs
like,
on that list.
Yeah.
The Tarek you had down there.
Yeah, and he was off the whole... I mean, it just didn't really feel like he was in it at all.
Much of anything there.
Optic never got it rolling, though.
No. No, and it was... I mean, it's difficult to get rolling, though, when you're getting rolled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you have that mountain to climb there. I wanted to talk about one rumor here, News. You actually brought up in the car ride over here that I did not know. So you'll have to give us the backstory.
So let's again start off by saying rumor. Okay?
Rumor.
It's rumor.
Which we love rumors here. It's a talk show. We live off of rumors. Brett, did you know this rumor?
So this was on Lucas's stream. This happened yesterday. He had mentioned on his stream that he knows, supposedly, that there's going to be a minus Shroud on Cloud9 and a plus a Liege hopping on over to take that spot. Thoughts?
So I'm a Cloud9 guy. Like, that's my team.
You have a jersey and you have a chair.
I have a shirt and I have...
Tank top. It's a tank top, not a shirt.
Right? I have a tank top. So I love it because I think Allege is the best on Liquid. Like, if Allege leaves Liquid, they're done. Because JDM is overhyped, even though he had the crazy clutch to get them into the overtime.
That 1v5?
Yes, he had the 1v5 ace. The 1v5 ace that kickstarted them to get to overtime.
Can I say something about JDM real quick? I mean, when is it gonna come down to, I mean, if you look at all the best hoppers in the world, you know, Coldzera, Fallen, Guardian, they're masters with the op, but they can also rifle if they need to. If they can't do like a full, you know, op buy, or you know, if they need to use a rifle, or you know, like a UMP or something like that, they're viable. But you get JDM, if they can't give that guy an op, I mean, I feel like he's
hardly producing with the op though, right?
That's my issue with him.
He's like, not he's, even a top tier opper in my opinion anymore.
No, not at all. The only reason he looked, and I can't say much because I was part of this crowd that was really hyped when he got onto Team Liquid.
It was a good move.
I was hyped because I thought he was going to be like, done. He's the op. Simple's leaving. He's the opper. Done. End of story. They just got a top tier player. The only reason he looked top tier is because he was on CLG.
Yep.
He was CLG's best player.
When no one else is performing around you, it's easy to look good.
Tier 2, tier 3 at times.
Nitro has fallen off the map, unfortunately. And he really looked like a promising player. So Nitro, it was really,
downs,
really disappointing this tournament,
right.
though. He showed up, I think, in one match this whole tournament. And that's even a stretch to say he showed up there.
And it's not good when your entry fragger isn't
fragging. He's entering.
Yeah.
But Allege, if he hopped on over to Cloud9, you know, the difference between Allege and Shroud, as far as talent goes, is not a lot, in my opinion. As far as raw talent goes, there's not a big difference
there. Okay, I can get down with that.
But the difference, in my opinion, is work ethic. I think Allege grinds, man. The dude doesn't stop. He's smart. I mean, he's actually smart as far as even education goes. The guy is, like, talented in both ways of life here. But he works hard. He wants to be the best, where Shroud wants to be the king of Reddit, and he's done that. You know, he's a great streamer. He's a good personality, I guess you could say, sometimes. But I don't see it in him. I don't see him wanting to get better. I don't see him motivated to be the best player in NA. He's happy being a good player.
That is, I feel like, perfect, where he has he's okay with being Shroud.
Yeah.
Like, he's perfectly fine being, like, kind of this NA crazy. He'll get the crazy Deagle kill.
But that's C9's mindset, right? You have people on C9. Look at their team. You got, Jordan Gilbert, who is a relaxed personality.
Right.
Who has turned, I feel like, Stewie into a semi-relaxed, fun personality. I'm not saying he turned him physically into it. It's just the nature of that team. Automatic came in pretty serious early on, put on his worker's hat. Produced, and now they've all slowly taken like a kind of a backseat, just watch what happens. A guy like Allege, you know, might potentially be able to turn that around and show him what it's like to work a little bit. I think dropping Shroud isn't going to hurt them from a statistics category. Shroud has never been a good LAN player.
And I think it will help maybe light some fire under their feet of like, hey, I mean, even looking at like nothing or something, like, look, we dropped Shroud. We dropped the poster boy for this team.
Yeah.
Because we're here to win. And honestly, right now, if Cloud9 wanted to become top NA team, this is their time. Because who is the top NA team? Going into it was OpTic.
OG, yeah.
But look at where that ended.
Yeah.
They ended up going out.
Again, we're going to be in a race to see who can make the next major here. Right now, it doesn't look like... Really, it doesn't look like any of the three major NA teams has a great chance.
No, and I feel like that's a constant rotating door.
It is.
Like, there has never been an NA team that's been able to make a major and stick through it to constantly hold that position.
Besides Liquid.
Liquid did it for a little bit. That was the simple era of Liquid.
That was the simple era, yeah. So again, it's not really NA, NA-ish, right?
Yeah, it's an NA team and it all worked out fine, but we all knew that was so temporary.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you and your girl getting back together. You knew it wasn't love.
Yeah.
But you wanted it to be.
It was great breakup sex.
Yeah. You wanted it to be more. And she was like, no, I told you.
Again, Liquid impressed me in this tournament, though. I did not have them doing anything in it, and they looked good.
They impressed me, and then at the same time, the individuals did not.
It made me a believer in Elige, though. Elige right. showed so much class and skill in this tournament. He looked like a top-tier player, not a top-tier NA player.
Yeah, no. And if you look at, I have all their matches here in front of me. They were in every single match, even in their losses. They had the overtime loss against Envious. They
played max rounds every game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. They won 16-14 against Flipside. They lost to FaZe 22-18.
Yeah. They could have won that a number of times.
They beat Mouse Sports, and then that last game. Okay, all but the last game when they lost 16-3 against Astralis. They were in.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, they were in it.
I think he dropped a 40 bomb. I'm trying to look at your stats page over here. I'm pretty sure he dropped a 40 bomb in the OT game somewhere.
Maybe.
I think it was in the FaZe game. He put up 40-something kills, and then he had another 30 bomb in another game. So Elige proved his worth. I think it'd be a good addition. We'll see if Lucas is right or not.
I mean, even right here, so Elige right at the moment, this is live, so this is including some playoffs,
yeah,
right? But Elige right now for the major is in third place for damage per round at 96.2.
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
Who's ahead of him, Flamey and Simple?
Flamey and Cold.
Okay.
Yeah. Cold Zera with 97.1 and Flamey with a clean 100.
100.
Yep. Clean 100.
Simple probably dropped off after today, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because Simple was, I don't know. Simple's tough to figure out as well. I don't know if he just hasn't found his niche in Na'Vi or kind of like a JDM syndrome where, don't get me, Simple is a world-class player. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
But when he was on Liquid, he was Liquid at the time. Like, he did
everything.
He's been
good on Na'Vi, though.
Yeah.
He's been good. Really good.
I don't think they've had the results that they've wanted.
They've done a good job of kind of dialing him back. Like, look, here, you know, don't go for that 1v1.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to do anything.
Although,
in that last game,
ESL New York was their only other big tournament besides the major, though, right?
Yeah, and they won ESL.
And they won ESL New York.
I guess so.
Again, I think we're putting too much into this first round exit.
That studio next to us is so loud. Man.
Way to stop the show down.
I can't believe it's so loud.
Jamming away, dude.
Studio next to us just rocking out to country.
Welcome to Texas.
Yeah,
man. Okay, we got to move on, but that's super loud. I think with Na'Vi, one of the things is, yes, they have had some good performances, but it's their bad performances that are just odd. Like, they're oddly bad performances when they...
Was today a bad performance in your eyes?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Simple didn't do much today. I don't think he did much to help them turn it around. Like we said, it was against Astralis.
Yeah.
You are against the number one in the world right
now. Yeah, it was a deflating second half. Just the way they went out, because I think they only won like two rounds in that second part of the map.
Game three you're talking about?
Yeah, game three.
Because they looked good going into half there. And then
yeah,
just fell
yeah, because it. I think they were up, right?
A nine,
by
six
one round?
Eight, seven,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they lost
fell apart.
It. Yeah.
But Device can do that to you, right? That's kind
yeah,
of
yeah. Device is, I mean, even here, so, like if you're looking at like all these top things for the major, Device
actually
is
have
all
it,
over it.
Yeah, you look at it, you look at his opening kills. He has 42 opening kills. The next closest person, anybody want to give it a guess? Not you, Ting, because I think you're looking at the stat page.
I am looking at it. To
you
want to
give it a shot?
Let me take a guess.
Opening kills.
Next on open kills, you have Device as number one.
Cold, maybe? I don't know.
No?
No.
Leash?
Is he on SK?
He is on Fnatic.
Ooh.
Oh. Is it Krims?
Olaf. 25 opening kills.
Oh my gosh.
Half Device had much. 42 opening kills.
That's insane.
Next closest person was 25.
Okay, I see you here now.
Insane. Insane.
Where are we sitting with Hiko? Is Hiko's...
Done.
You done?
Done.
It's weird to see him without a hat.
I mean,
which, by the way,
Hiko...
that was part of the... For those... If people were wondering why no one's wearing a hat and everyone looks like they're balding... It's because, remember, like in E-League Season 2, who made the comment?
Sean Garris, right?
Was it Sean Garris?
Yeah,
yeah,
it was Sean Garris.
Because he tweeted out.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I can't believe they get to wear hats because the hats would make their headphones sit flush. So you would like, I mean, they wouldn't be as soundproof as...
Hats didn't bother me. It was beanies that bothered me.
He tweeted a picture of an immortal
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was someone on Immortals.
A Brazilian
yeah.
player. I don't know who.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could clearly
see it. You could see a gap there.
Yeah, you could clearly see
Taco
a gap.
Taco wears like three beanies on his head. The headphones are right. not even there. No. You might as well not even be wearing
them. And so they finally, E-League was like, you know what? We don't care about your hats. We're just going to make the rule of don't wear them.
I get it, though.
Don't wear them. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining. It makes sense.
But like, I'm also not playing. I don't care.
Right. But at the same, but if you were though, I
but
mean,
if I was playing, yeah, that would be an issue.
And wearing a hat to get that slight lift is something a player would do.
The
and,
stadium
and
itself is loud enough to give you a clue if somebody's coming up behind you
right.
or, you know, peeking you in a corner where they know it's about to go crazy.
Anyways, that brought up my thing with Hiko though. It's
I mean,
he's done, but he's not going to, he is liquid. Like he's a nothing.
They're not dropping him.
No, he's not. They're not. He's the nothing of Cloud Nine. He's the, you know, he's
Hiko. What he had going for him in the past was his clutchness, right?
Right. Quote unquote. You know, if you believe in clutch,
they're not going to really be in situations much longer with this lineup where being clutch is going to be good enough, right?
And the league is too good too. There's too much. Like I said, you know, earlier in the show, there's too much parity. You can't win matches by just over-clutching another team.
There's a reason Hiko wanted simple. He knew this was one of his last runs. He's an older player. I mean, I think he knows what he'll move into some other role in another year or two, but he's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Hiko's garbage. I don't want to throw that out there and say I hate Hiko. I actually love the guy. I think he's a great talent. I think he's good for NA. But his career is winding down, and you could kind of see it in these last few tournaments.
I would say he's still one of the best lurkers in the game. Him and Dupree.
Yeah, and
old GTR. There's a lot of the lurk role. He did a good job of defining it. I wouldn't say he's still one of the best, though.
And that's one of the reasons why he could be clutch too.
Yeah,
is because when you're a lurker, you're typically one of the last ones alive, getting the cleanup kills and all that. My thing with Liquid as a team is this whole clutch factor that people kind of paint the picture of, and like overtime heroes, like they're notorious for taking games to overtime, and then it's closing it.
Yeah.
And that was even with Simple. Like, this isn't just like a, okay, Simple's not on the team type of thing. It was even in the Simple era where
they get up 14-8 and then they choke.
I mean, look
it.
At the in the major. Like, how many times did they have one win to go and then just not finish?
They
like,
handed it to SK a few times.
Right. And that's been a thing there. And the common denominator is Nitro and Hiko and all them.
It might be interesting to see if they made somehow an NA super team, which I don't even know what that would look like at this point if Hiko was on it, but
I think he would. If you had to pick an NA super team, I think you got, for me, Stewie, Hiko, Allege. Give me Automatic. He's impressed me a lot on Cloud9.
Who's your opper on this team?
I think you could give Hiko the op.
No.
I've seen him op. Out of that team,
you would
maybe
could you have Hiko op over JDM or over Ska, or we don't count Mixwell obviously as NA, right? We're not going to count Mixwell NA,
no,
because he's Spain.
I mean, he
or
plays for an
NA
team,
yeah,
but he's not NA. He's not like NA.
No, but I think so. My dream team would be where we can break away from the whole NA EU bit and just sign players for their skill.
But that's kind of fun, right?
It's fun to say.
I like the fandom kind of aspect of it
and all that.
To me it's a beating. Like, I just want to see it gone.
Well, it's a beating. I mean, we're on the side that's getting bent over right now.
Well, yeah, but you know, I like
side.
It.
I mean, look at in Dota, NA is good in Dota.
And you know, more to your point, you know, we talked about this, you know, a few shows ago where, you know, we want the NA EU thing to go away, but I like it for regional purposes. Like, if you're doing it like a true regional deal where, you know, if you have your NA teams, you know, your best NA teams against your best EU teams, you know, going at it as like a, you know, kind of like a conference deal.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with that.
But, you know, mix and mash. I don't care if all my players in Counter-Strike on my favorite team are all Swedes, or they're all Danes, or they're all Americans. I want just the best players.
I just want Cloud9 to win. That's all I want.
The dream.
I don't care if they have to, like, just don't sign Fallen, and we're good.
Gosh, can you imagine?
I don't know what I would do if they signed the SK.
The best opera.
No, but like, I mean, I would say a lot of North Americans' favorite teams is also NIP, right? I mean, NIP is one of the fanboy teams that everybody goes to. And
yeah.
I think you and me both bought the jerseys, if I'm not mistaken. You bought one for your child. Yeah. I bought one for myself.
Yeah. But if it's esports jerseys, just like soccer jerseys.
It's going to fit your newborn better than
you bought it in person. You can't even say you bought it online. You were there.
It doesn't leave much to the imagination. Let's just say that.
No, it does not.
It doesn't.
Let's look forward to the playoffs just so we can have it on record on what we think is going to happen. And then we'll send this piece off. So you have, right now, going into the semifinals, Astralis is playing Fnatic tomorrow.
That has to be an Astralis win.
I think it's going to be Astralis. I think this is finally where you see Fnatic kind of snap.
Hold on, time out. We got SK tomorrow versus FaZe, right?
Yes, but that's still a quarterfinals.
Yeah, so before we hop into that, is it unfair that they get to play like two matches back-to-back, in your opinion?
I don't know if it's... Are you saying it's unfair?
Advantage or disadvantage? Like the fact that they might have to play six games in one day versus three games in one day?
Me personally?
Yeah.
If I was like on FaZe or SK, I'd be upset.
I would be upset too.
I would be upset because you get all these guys going in fresh and...
Playing six games of CS in one day at that level is a lot of work.
Right. And I'm not even talking about like fresh as in the sense of like, oh, but you're warmed up. Dude, you are mentally...
That could be six or seven hours of gaming in a row. That's a lot.
And this isn't just you chilling with your buddies. No. This is them playing for...
Hardcore.
Yes.
Yeah, this is for money on the line.
Yeah, but if you look at it, I mean, it's still an extra day of practicing. I mean, you could see it both ways, right?
They get an extra day to prep for their game, but the winner, I think, will feel like, oh gosh, here we go. We're going to have about a 2 to 3 hour break, and then we're going to hop into our next match. And this next match is now, we're talking big money time. I mean, money differential is probably getting pretty big at that point.
I agree, because, I mean, look at how the schedule goes. Where, I'm with Anuj. I don't like the fact there. I think it's weird that they played three quarterfinals in one day and left one for tomorrow.
Why would you do that? They could have easily played another one today.
Yeah, it ended at 5. So unless they could
What time did...
So at 6 o'clock Atlanta time is when...
VP finished?
When they started. They started around 6.
Even if they started at 8 o'clock, let's say, you have three games, you're done before midnight. You know, get it in there and let everybody... start off fresh the next day.
And even if they're like, okay, well, we didn't have the arena for that long, then do it at the Turner Studios or something.
Yeah. Oh, I mean.
I just don't. I'm with the Nuj. If I was SK or FaZe, I'd be like, dude, are you serious? We got to turn around and play.
Six games in one day, potentially.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Sorry, so I took you off track there. So let's go back
to. No, I'm with you. I like that. So well, let's start with that, though, because it is quarterfinals. SK or FaZe?
I got SK winning that.
I do have SK winning it in my sticker challenge. I will say I won't be surprised if FaZe wins.
I'm with you there. I got SK. I'm gonna pick SK. If I'm putting money on the line, I'm going SK.
Yeah, stop doing these glory picks here. I'm picking. Yeah,
at the end of the day, I feel like Fox is only working, like we kind of discussed earlier, with the language barrier. He was the right pickup for him. But tactically, he's an opera himself at heart. That's what he's done.
He's throwing the team off because I watched all the SK matches and Fallen was deferring to Fox.
Are you kidding?
You know, Fallen, the best opper in the world, is giving his op to Fox. Like, here, man, we need you to fit in.
Yeah.
And it was throwing off the team dynamic.
You take one of the best oppers in the world off of the op to bring on He could barely cut it in FaZe.
He's not a top tier.
He's a good opper. Right. There's a reason he's a pro. He's obviously good, but he's not Fallen.
Yeah.
You know, you want Fallen behind the op any chance you get.
And if Fallen's not in the op, I would rather have Coldzera.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I agree. Fox would be my third pick on that team.
Yeah. Yeah. But with Rain and AZ and these guys, if they come ready to play, they can take that match from them. But I'm gonna pick SK.
Like I said, I do like FaZe, though. I think the Kerrigan pick has been working really well for them.
Yeah.
Like, Kerrigan has turned that team around, I feel.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I mean, leading up to that tournament, he was dogging it. Oh, my God, he was terrible. But this tournament, I feel like he's been really good.
Yep. All right, so that would leave us with SK moving on. I think we're kind of we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah, that's pretty much
so then one. They're playing VP after that. I think VP will wipe the floor. I think a 2-0 VP versus SK.
I go VP. I don't know if I say 2-0, but I think VP, I think this will show where the 5 in Unity will be better than the 4 in Unity. So I think that will be the difference maker here. I bet my money would say if FNX was there and they had the same 5, be a much better match.
VP to me just has a very bad habit of just letting teams stay in the game. And if SK is there...
Yeah, but at the same time, they have a very good habit
of closing,
of closing it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at their majors, I mean, just... I don't know.
VP is shown to be consistent. I think the lack of consistency with the lineup for SK is what's going to hurt them. I don't think SK is any less talented than VP. In fact, you could say they have more talent. Like you're saying, I would agree. Somebody like Cold or Fallen is up there with the best of them.
Yeah.
But I think the lack of unity, the lack of a true starting 5 is what could hurt them in a semifinals matchup.
I'm still going to take SK. Give me Fallen's fortitude and you know, the best number one player in the world, Coldzera, on that team as well. Just give me that team.
What do your stickers say, boys?
Oh, SK. I said SK. Oh, no, VP? I'm sorry. No, VP. My stickers say VP.
So SK.
I'm sticking with my sticker pick and my
So far, I'm 3-0 in this round.
I will go with Virtus Pro. I'm with you, Anuj. I just think the level of veterans on VP are going to beat out. I don't like the Fox pick when playing VP.
It bothers me, too.
I don't like that pick.
I think we could all probably say, though, if it went either way, it's not a huge surprise.
No.
Like, I'm not going to be shocked if SK comes out and Cold goes nuts for a game or two and carries them, or Fallen comes out and proves why he's the best opera in the world.
So... Take out Fox and take out, you know, Neo from VP. Would you agree that Neo is probably their fifth best player if you're looking at VP?
Yeah, Neo's the most experienced player on the team, though, right?
Take those two players out and look at their top four. Would you take VP's top four over SK?
What I don't disagree with is I agree that the talent, as far as the top tier talent with Fallen and Cold, are going to be better than I think anybody VP can put out there.
I think if things go sideways, VP will be the faster team to turn it around.
I think if Fallen doesn't, or if SK doesn't get off to a fast start, it's going to snowball on them. I think if they come out hot and come out swinging and take an early lead, that could prove to be the difference in any of the maps that they play. I mean, I think both of them have enough experience on any of the maps where the map pool won't really matter as much with them. I think they're both good on... You know, Cobble's one of the stronger maps for both of them. Mirage, they can both play well, and they've both shown that in this tournament. I don't think that'll be the difference. I think it's just going to come down to fast starts, and then it'll kind of snowball from there.
I would love to see a third map, Cobble. Those two teams playing against each other on Cobble.
But SK took it last time they did that, right? It was on I think it was another major event or some large event. I can't remember which one it was.
Now, once semifinals, I will be surprised of the results. We mentioned it earlier. Astralis and Fnatic. Astralis
has got that.
There's
I mean,
no way.
At one point,
no, just whatever. Kidding.
Yeah, okay. Ray. What do you? Eventually, it comes down to strats and Astralis. They're just. I think they're the most cerebral team in this tournament. Like you watch them and like that last match that they played on Dust 2, where they were just like baiting. Just baiting shots at mid doors, and you got KRB just hopping over mid doors, just trying to, you know, get a shot, and Device is kind of sitting back there and just waiting for the opportunity. They're the smartest team in this tournament, I think.
Glaive.
And it's like
Glaive has been the difference maker. I mean, this team looked like they were falling apart. You had people like Dupree coming out earlier in the year saying, "I don't think we're going to get a tournament win this year." I mean, I don't know if y'all remember that. It wasn't too long ago, but Dupree was like, "I don't think we'll even get a tournament win this year." Then they came out and won the next tournament, obviously,
of
right
course.
After he said it. But Glaive has shown that he is what we would consider nowadays the perfect IGL because he knows the strats, he knows how to put a team together, and on top of that, he frags, and he's been the difference maker. Kerrigan has worked out well for FaZe, but it's still not nearly at the level that Glaive has brought to this team, and he seems to fit really well there.
Right.
So for me, that puts VP and Astralis in the finals, and I have Astralis beating VP.
My man.
Man.
I just think Astralis is connecting at all ends, especially since they beat Na'Vi. Now, before they went and played Na'Vi, like, they had one of the easiest group stages, which is odd because they went and had to, you know, they were up against the wall. Like, they had to almost win out, right? They ended groups 3-2. So in groups, Astralis had Godsent, who they lost to. They lost against Godsent.
Badly.
Yeah. That was not
good. Was that 16-6 finish?
Yeah, I told you, and that's the kick. That was the kick in the pants that they needed.
No, and even Thorin said it. Thorin was like, this is probably the best thing that could have happened to Astralis.
They had a pretty easy setup too, though, because then they had Optic and G2, right?
That's what I'm saying. Astralis had like an easier setup. They had Optic G2, then they lost against SK on Dust 2, and then they beat Liquid handedly on Mirage. So they had one of the easier group stages. So even after groups, I wasn't 100% sold on them. But then today, I mean, I did pick them in my sticker challenge, so I had enough confidence in them going in. But I do think that they'll beat VP. I think their play style counters VP's very well, where VP kind of has like a little slower, more thought out play style. I feel right now Astralis is playing with a little faster play style.
Yeah, but does that really counter as faster versus slower a counter?
I think so. I think so because to me, slower is being on your heels.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, this might not be the popular pick. It's probably not the popular pick, but I'll probably take VP because I feel like it's the older brother.
Your stickers at this point are done.
My stickers are done. I picked Na'Vi. That hurts, you know? That hurts. But I think VP, it almost feels like big brother versus little brother here. VP is the experienced team. It's a big moment for both teams, and Astralis has shown that they can win in big moments here recently. I don't know what it is. It's something about VP in this run. I mean, I feel like they're just all so playing so together. If they make it through SK, you know, I think VP would pull it off.
Yeah, they're kind of playing with house money right now after that last match, VP.
Yeah, I mean, they were on verge of death, you know?
Now, I don't have VP going on to the semifinals. I have SK. Well, to the finals. I have SK against Astralis. I have Astralis winning. And I think that will come down to three maps, and it should be pretty epic. I want to see it in E-League, you know, when it's been on TV, we haven't seen those like close matches. I want this finals match to be
I feel like every
third
time
map
has a game on TV, it's not like the greatest one.
No. It's always like a 2-0, and it's like,
well,
come on.
Because you're limited with the number of games they show on TV is a problem.
Right.
You know, if they showed every game on TV, there's a lot of crappy games that happen in between, right?
Right.
We're fortunate enough to see the best ones because we're following all of them, you know?
Yeah. Either way, I think it's going to be, as long as, like, if it's Astralis and VP, I think that will be the most entertaining final.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think that will make everyone happy because I think people are sick of seeing SK and Fnatic.
Yeah. I have been playing SK, and I think it's going to come down to, like, map picks. And, okay, we talked about Glaive being this, you know, he's a great IGL, and he's been, but he kind of made one mistake. He said that they really didn't prepare for Mirage a whole lot, so that's got to be an automatic ban if they play against SK because they'll get destroyed. And then they lost to SK on Dust 2, so Dust 2 will probably be an automatic pick for SK. So yeah, I think it's going to come down to a third map, and it's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait.
Yeah, because I don't think they would ban both Mirage and Dust 2, right? I mean, they would ban Mirage.
Well, they can't in this format. You ban, and then you get your pick, and then you ban after that. So you got to pick your poison. You don't want to play
Mirage
SK on Mirage.
First. Yeah, you take Mirage out.
Yeah,
you roll your dice on Dust 2, and then you ban like a nuke or something else that you know.
But at the same time, apart from Mirage, I feel like at this point in the game, except for Fnatic, because they're kind of that wild card, because Disco and Twist, any one of these teams are They might have their favorite maps, but I mean, they're going to be fine on any map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I want to see more train. That's what I want to see.
Too bad Optic's gone.
I feel like Cobble. Well, they lost to Astralis.
Yeah.
They lost to Astralis.
They lost on their map.
Yep.
That was what was the score in that game? Did anybody was it a 19-17 game? Was that a
which
close
one?
Game?
Optic and Astralis.
I could tell you in 2 seconds as soon as I find it.
16-12.
Yeah. So it was close.
It was a close game.
But still, that was their map.
Yeah.
And with you being Optic, who was supposed to be a top tier team, you probably don't want to do that. All right. Well,
that was so 2016 with Optic.
You know what? I'm fine with it, though, because did I ever tell you the story about how I asked them to come on the show?
Optic?
Yeah.
What was the response?
They asked for our listener numbers.
What did you tell them?
I was honest. I said, you know, we have a respectable amount. Here's the number. Never heard back. Never.
Hey, but we're growing.
Never heard back.
We're growing daily, baby.
Because they came out with a book, so I was like, this is great. We can talk about the book. And then nothing. They teased me. So ever since then...
Hey, at least you got a response.
Yeah, when they thought I was popular.
That's fine.
So from then, I never... I wish bad things on Optic Gaming. Anyways, that will be episode 48 of The Center Ring, also known as TCR, in the books. Thank you guys for joining.
Thank you for having me.
I'll see you next time.
Yep.
Anuj, you're always welcome.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you guys for having me.
Anthony, awesome insight, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I got my 10 lines of dialogue in there.
No, it was really good.
Anthony, hold on real quick. Who's your favorite? Favorite to win the tournament?
Oh, man. SK.
SK, I like it. Well, yeah, I like it.
I'll go with the popular pick. Why
watch,
not?
That's going to be the winner, too.
Yeah, I know, right?
Odds are in my favor, I guess, right?
You can always check us out online at The Center Ring on Twitter, our website, tcr.gg. You can always check out the latest episodes there, some really out-of-date YouTube. I swear to God, I'm going to get those up one day. I keep telling myself I'm going to do it, and then I just don't. Blame the major.
Right.
Because that's what I keep looking at. Episode 48, again, in the books. We'll be back next week to talk about the major, the results, how well we did. Will any of us get the golden trophy?
No.
The dream is alive for me.
I think I still have a chance. Because though I screwed up on my Gambit and Fnatic pick, I had none of them getting out of semis.
Can I bring my Cologne gold with me?
I didn't even do the sticker challenge for Cologne.
That's the only one I got.
So I was out of town and I never got a chance to do it. So thank you again so much for listening. We'll be back next week talking about the major and some other stuff going on in esports. Until then, take it easy and follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring.